Greetings, my fellow D&D podcast listeners. A little foreword before we begin. This is Matt, the DM for the upcoming series. If you haven't listened to our prelude of Ghoul Island, I highly recommend it before going any further, as it leads directly into the events of what's happening in this episode. Go meet our characters and learn some history of the story in our prelude, then return here to board the vessel as we set sail across the sea to the mysterious island of Barzine. To our returning listeners, you may notice something different about our channel. Well, Ghoul Island is a soft reboot of the show due to complications. Some new cast members, a new story, it's going to be a lot of fun, and I really hope you continue to support our show. Speaking of supporting, our Patreon is now live. Go check it out and get lots of behind-the-scenes information, character art, and more, and even talk to the cast, all while supporting us and helping us create more awesome content for you. With that, I think we're ready to begin? Where did this door come from? This is new. What do you think? Should we open it? Yeah, I think we should open it. Well, I guess I'll see you on the other side.
Ooh, welcome, welcome, welcome to my tavern. My, it sounds like it's about to let loose outside. Why don't I fix you an ale, and we can pass the time by telling you a tale. Come sit by the fire. Comfy chairs and a good book make the storm pass quickly. Oh, what to read, what to read. Let's see. Dungeon of a Mad Mage? Nah. How about Storm King's Thunder? It fits the weather. Yes, it does, but not the season of the dead. Oh, how about some dark fantasy? Dark fantasy, that might, yes, let's see. Oh, the Palinel Journeys. No, you wouldn't like it. Decent characters and all, but the writer left the story hanging. Best not to even bother. The book does make a good coaster, though, so here, use it for your ale. Here we go, Ghoul Island. Perfect story for the weather and the season. A thrilling tale of mystery and suspense that begins on the high seas, catastrophic storms, mutiny, death, and evil lurking in the shadows. Yes, this tale will do just fine. So how about we begin our tale? A tale of feats and fates.
Well, good evening and welcome to our very first recording, or should I say our first episode of a brand new series on Feats and Fates that we are titling Ghoul Island Saga, written and adapted into D&D 5th Edition by Sandy Peterson, the author of Cthulhu Mythos that also had his hand into Call of Cthulhu. So this will be a Lovecraftian tale for everybody. You don't really see that much often in podcasts these days, so we're going to do a little different spin on it. You have myself. You guys might recognize me. Hi, I'm Go. But this time, I'm taking over as the M for this series. My name is Matt, so you'll be hearing me a lot. Well, actually, you kind of heard me a lot as Go anyway, so it makes sense. So with me tonight, I do have Belrash, a.k.a. John. He is coming back with us. John, say hi.
Hey. Yeah, you can't tell me how to live my life.
There he goes. That's the kind of enthusiasm I want to bring with me. There's a reason why I keep you around.
It's because I'm pretty, I know.
Like I was saying, we do also have a newcomer at the table. Allow me to introduce Trent. Trent, introduce yourself and say hello to the crew.
Hey, y'all. I'm glad to be here. I'm Trent. That's my voice. This is what I sound like.
We will introduce their characters in just a second, but last but certainly not least, I do have the DM for the Secrets and Consequences podcast, Vicky, with us today, and she'll be joining us as a player. So we are doing a little bit of a collaborative effort here. So if you like us, go check her out too, because her podcast is actually pretty sweet and audio quality has gone up a bunch since they have begun. So it's definitely worth the listen. Vicky, say hello.
Hi, everyone. As Matt said, I am the Dungeon Master for Secrets and Consequences. So excited to be on the other side of the DM screen and play in this special collaboration that we have going on. So check us out if you're interested, Secrets and Consequences. But while you're here, we're going to give you a good show, Feats and Fates.
You're on my table now.
Oh, no.
Dun, dun, dun.
As I mentioned, the story will be focused on a story of Sandy Peterson's writing, Cthulhu style, Lovecraftian era, which, you know, kind of works out for Halloween. So let's start things off. We'll be starting off in the port town of Rizonte. So as you wake up, you hear the calls of the seagulls, splash of the ocean outside. Everything is kind of as it should be. And it's starting, I mean, it's pretty early in the morning. Neeru, I'll start with you since you said you're going to be the first one there.
Yeah, so Neeru comes down to the docks, and I assume she's standing outside.
She is.
So as I walk up, I go, hey.
Well, good morning.
So, I know you said everyone pulls their own weight, but I'm more of a leader. So I want to be the captain. Is that cool?
No, I'm going to lead you aboard the ship, and I'll lead you to how to do the work, and then I'm going to lead you to bed, and then I'm going to lead you to get up the next morning and do it all over again.
Fair enough. And I just walk past her to the boat.
As that conversation transpires, you hear the clanking of metal and armor moving, and here comes Helmy walking about 15 paces behind.
Oh, yeah. And she's actually pretty disappointed that she wasn't the first one there, but she'll take it. Yes, you can hear her coming. Clink, 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 clink. Good morning.
Good morning, Lass.
It's a lovely day out here today, isn't it?
Yeah, I reckon. Waves are good. Sun's not up yet. It's still dark. See the stars. Yeah, sure. It's good. It's good sailing weather.
Good. Good. All right, where should I be headed?
Take your belongings onto the boat, and my first mate will be with you in a minute.
All right.
And as you begin walking aboard, again, about 10, 15 paces behind it, you hear the loud footsteps of claws scraping across the pier. And you look back, and you see Envis with his lizard tail just swinging back and forth like a happy dog walking down the dock.
Do lizards whistle? Can a lizard whistle? Because I think he would be whistling if he could.
You know, that's a great question. So I'm just going to go with it. They can.
Good morning, Captain.
As you. Well, welcome to the Folly. Please get your stuff right on board and we will begin preparations to set sail. As she is speaking to Envis, Neeru and Helmy, y'all overhear the conversation a little bit. She's a little bit more pleasant than she was with you guys. And you're kind of wondering if it's the fact that he paid into the boat.
Yeah, I'm not happy.
I believe that she's not very happy with us, that we didn't give her some money for this voyage.
Falling in her timeshare trap? Yeah, I know.
Yes.
Envis does not notice this. He's just happy as a clam.
All right. And he begins walking up the dock. As Envis boards the ship, the rickety dock creaks and strains with each step toward the ship. The sun breaks over the distant sea for just a moment. The decay of the city burns away as the orange-red streaks of the early morning sun bathe everything in its cleansing light. You're brought quickly back to your senses as the first mate ushers you forward.
Get a move on! The sooner we get out of this godforsaken port, the better!
You're now rushed onto the ship by Aiden Sala, the first mate of Hazel's Folly. Captain Senza is now paying you little attention as she is overseeing the rest of the ship and preparing to disembark.
Welcome to the Folly. She's not much, but she's ours. Stow your gear quickly, everyone, and I mean absolutely everyone, pulls their weight on this ship. My name's Aiden, by the way.
What does he look like?
All right, so Aiden, he is a normal human compared to some of those from the tavern that you have seen. He looks normal. He's got pretty dark skin tone. He's very tan, rugged, kind of handlebar beard going down, kind of
curls up in the middle with a little bit of his chin exposed, but mustache goes all the way down the sides of his cheek. He's got very long sideburns, wisp back hair, tattoos covering most of his visible body. He's got a nice hourglass.
Figure?
Spyglass on his belt hanging from it. Very nice. I wouldn't say ragged sailor's clothing, but they're well kept. They're nice. You can tell that he's been paid well, and you can tell from just by looking at him that he's spent a lot of time at sea.
As he's talking to Invis, Invis has his face away from him, and as he turns around to look at him, you can see that he's trying to lick a bug off of his eyeball, and he's got his like tongue all the way up there on his eyeball.
Well, that's an interesting trick that you're doing.
There was definitely something.
I was hungry. Where's the cat? Can I take care of the cat?
Oh, dear.
I want that to be my job. Can I be cat taker carer?
Not at all. No, not at all.
I would recommend you keep the cat well away.
So, go and get your stuff put away, and then introduce yourself to the crew. And then we will be on our way as we are preparing to disembark. Helmy, as you are looking around, give me an intelligence check.
Okay, that's a one, but no, not natural.
Okay, so as you look around the boat, you don't know if what Aiden is saying is true or not, because you've never actually seen much seafare. You've just kind of read about it from just random books growing up. So you don't really know whether or not this ship is in good sailing condition or in bad sailing condition. You don't really know enough about vessels.
Yeah, nope, sure don't. This seems like a fine vessel to me. Everything looks tip-top. Do either of you know about vessels and whether or not this is a sturdy one?
No red flags here.
I mean, it's floating on water. That's boats do that.
Right, right. What a beneficial crew we are for this voyage.
Here to help, ma'am. And he salutes.
So, the Folly, as she is referred to by her crew, is 48 foot long in length and nearly 18 foot wide at its center. She can sail in as little as 8 foot of water with an empty hold. She has 3 sails. The course sail is a large and roughly square. The top gallant sail is smaller and shaped like a horizontal rectangle. And the triangular jib sail is at the fore of the craft. A skiff is lashed to the side for disembarking in the shallow waters. There is only one lower level divided into the captain's quarter, the galley, the cargo hold, and the general quarter. The Folly can sail with as few as 4 skilled sailors. Many of the sailors choose to sleep on the deck when weather permits.
Quaint.
Where should I put my things?
As you go down, you'll find the quarters. Now, granted, it's a bunch of hammocks, but you might meet a little bit of the crew on the way. At which point, as Aiden is talking, you start hearing a lot more bustling on the ship. So, Nero, give me a dexterity saving throw.
Natural 20.
Man.
Suck it, Matt.
All right. So, as everybody's sitting there talking and everybody is getting the ship ready, you're hearing more and more voices on the deck as you start to pay attention to it. Nero, you start hearing a barrel come rolling on the ship's deck towards you. Just enough time where you kind of hop over it. And on the other side is a small dwarf, very long beard. He's definitely got a few scars on his face, ornate kind of armor. You can tell that he knows his way around the weapon just from looking at it. And he looks over to you.
Hey, lad. That was a great jump. Sorry about that. My name is Motwood Whitcock. I am one of the dwarven triplets that's on this ship.
Charmed. Do you guys see that? He's gonna hit me with his barrel.
Oh, I wouldn't say I was gonna hit you, just you got in the way of us doing our job.
Why are you laughing about it?
Now, Matwa, you know to leave these new people alone. Don't be running anything into them. You just got to do your job and do it well.
And then a third voice to the front of the ship kind of looks back and she's just like,
would you two just shut up and get back to work? Yes, Olo, they say in unison.
Do they all look identical? Are those the triplets?
For the most part, you can tell they're all dwarvish. Matwa, the first one I introduced, looks kind of similar to Ada, except for he's got less hair on the top of his head. He's kind of bald, but his hairline is definitely receding, but he's got long locks on the back to the front, long sideburns that turn into a very long brown beard on the front of it. Very nice armor. And then the last dwarf is actually a female. She's got sideburns turning into a beard on the side, no facial hair, directly on the front of her face, very bushy eyebrows, long red hair flowing down, and she's got a hood sitting right behind her head. She's over there doing the rigging and getting everything, like getting the sails ready and all of that as she turned backwards to basically yell at her siblings.
Have we put our stuff down at this point, or are we still, like...
As far as I know, you are still on the deck,
Okay.
Invis is still just, like, holding two trunks of, like, stuff, and, like, his axe is on his back. Where do I need to put these things?
Olo speaks up. If y'all are so dense... And she yells out, Mosetta! And a honking bulk of a person comes climbing out of the stairs onto the deck. Like, you look at him, he is different colors. Like, he's got stitches across different parts of his body, different skin tones. Closest thing to resemble him to would be Frankenstein, because he's just so many different, like, skin tones and body parts put together, but built well enough that it doesn't look like he's oddly shaped. He's just a massive hulk of a person.
How tall is he compared to Invis?
He is 6'7".
Okay, so I'm 6'3". Okay. Well, hi there, friend. Are you going to show us to where our rooms are?
And he just kind of looks and he's just like, And he picks up your bags and just starts dragging them. And he just drops them down the ladder.
Fragiles. He's like, he definitely has some alchemist like vials and shit in his bag.
Cool, I'll use that later. Alright.
Oh, great, great.
So, Mosetta shows each of you where the quarters would be. And as y'all walk through, you'll kind of see, mess hall, the galley, a room that's closed off. Mosetta just kind of turns and points towards it. And he just says, Senza.
Senza?
Captain. And what you can gather from the way he's pointing at the door is that that's her room.
Okay.
So he takes you under everything to a bunch of hammocks. He just kind of puts the stuff down. And you just pick one. And he just kind of goes back off.
I'm going to try to catch up with Mosetta real quick.
Okay.
Mosetta, right?
Yes.
So, now this is going to be hard to believe, but the captain said I could use her room. So if you let me in, that'd be super cool.
I paid the premium price.
See? You paid the premium price.
So... Mosetta takes his enormous hand that covers most of your back, places it on your back, and like he's about to start taking you, he turns around and y'all walk towards the hammocks.
You've made an enemy today, Mosetta.
I paid the great price. Do I get a room? Wow. Room?
Yes. And he takes you. Room. Points the hammock.
Oh. Okay.
I guess I'll pick a hammock.
Guess it's good that we didn't invest in this, huh, Nehru?
It'll pay out in the end, just you see.
Sometimes you pay your monies and come up short. It happens.
I have absolute confidence in the captain and that she is going to steer us straight. I just know this will pay out in the end.
I'm sure.
Just you see.
So I guess we should probably get back upstairs and...
And as you guys are making yourself kind of, I guess, at home for this voyage, a half-elf, kind of heavy-set gentleman, nice kind of slick back hair, he's holding a pan flute, nice, very meticulously cared for beard with some decent clothes, and he walks over and says,
Now you just don't worry about that, Mazetta. Now that boy don't even know what's going on half the time. He's been here as long as the boat been here, but don't worry about anything. My name's Banda. My name's my sister's up there. My name's Banda Ogila. You know, even I can't say it some days. It's one of those words that's just kind of hard to say. But you can just call me on Banda, and just make yourself right on home. I'm just here, and I just enjoy being here. I just like to play my flute, and I do my work, and my sister's up there. Now, you don't mess with my sister. Now, she's kind of sharp-tongued. But she's a good person. I promise. I'm just kind of here just in case anybody gets sick or anything. I take care of everybody on this ship. Just a kind of word every so often to help everybody get through it. And I know that you're going to get through it just fine. So, if there's anything that you need to, just come on talk to old Banda. I'll be happy to help you.
Thank you, Banda. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Oh, the pleasure's all mine, my lady. And he just kind of bows his head a little bit. And he's just like, if you don't excuse me right now, we're trying to get our ship ready to set sail and get on this adventure. Are you guys ready for adventure? I'm sure ready for this adventure. But if you excuse me, I got to tie down some stuff over here. But if you need anything, just come on, talk to old Banda. And I'll just excuse myself right on out. Now, y'all take care now.
And he walks away.
Okay.
Well, okay.
Oh, lovely. Lovely.
I will not be able to replicate that for later.
He's so chipper.
That was, yes, a lot of energy for so early in the morning. All right, well, should we head back up and offer some assistance?
I reckon so.
Yeah, I figure that's probably best.
Yes.
Invis wants to look around. Is there like a med bay or something?
No.
Oh, okay.
So as you are looking around, I mean, you find the locked door to Captain Senza's room. But you also find another door in the storage room that's unlocked.
Well, I want to go inside the unlocked door in the storage room.
Okay. As you open it up, you look inside and there's a lot of food everywhere. And inside is standing a half-elf woman that's kind of hunched over, stirring a pot. And she looks back and she sees you as she walks in. She's tall, she's thin, perpetually hunched over, probably from spending too much time in the galley. And she looks over.
Well, I have never seen a lizard folk before. Allow me to introduce myself. My name is Nebby. I'm the ship's cook. If you need anything, I'll be more than happy to feed you. You look a little bit green around the gills.
I was born that way.
Here, check this apple.
Oh, no thank you. Do you have any cat?
Have any what?
I poke my head in and go, he wants some cat. He wants to eat. The captain's cat.
That is the most strangest request I think anybody has ever actually asked me. And I have been asked a lot of weird things over there.
It's a delicacy in my home. I haven't had it in years. Do you have any cat, parrot?
No, unfortunately. We don't have any of those things here. We have a little bit of chicken, a little bit of boar.
Okay, it'll do.
Why don't you make yourself on up to the deck and help finish the preparations, and then we will get on our way.
Okay. And he just... Yeah, takes his jacket off, takes his hood off and everything, and kind of goes upstairs, I guess.
Oh, head on upstairs as well?
Yeah, same.
But I'm keeping my eye out for the cat.
Oh, dear God. So am I. But for a different reason.
Matt, this cat's going to get eaten before the end of the game.
Sure it is. So as all three of you go back up, Aiden...
Well, about time you guys come back. Sounds to me like y'all have met the rest of the crew. We'll go ahead and we'll start teaching you the ropes a little bit. Just pair up with whoever you want to pair up with.
Captain, you got anything else to say to these fine folks that come aboard our ship?
Captain Senza looks down, sharp-eyed. She's looking straight ahead to see. Actually, yes. Yes, I do have something I'd like to say. Prepare to set sail. We're leaving.
As she speaks these words, Aiden yells to the crew,
"Underway!"
Suddenly, the movement gets faster as everyone scurries around the deck. Matwa pulls in the ship's plank for boarding as Olo of the triplets unties the rope that was holding the folly to the dock. Now, the folly is free. Kasa and Ade loosen the ropes to the sails, and doing so, the large canvas sails fall into place as they open completely, becoming caught, and the gentle breeze coming off Rosante. As soon as the sails are open, completely catching the morning breeze, your adventure on the sea has officially begun. As the folly begins to cut through the bay waters off Rosante, I want each of you to give me a dexterity saving throw, as the sudden jerk of movement has caught each of you off guard.
8 for Niru.
That's going to be a 9 for Invis.
All right. So, Helmy, as the boat sets off, you've got your feet pretty firmly planted because you're holding your glaive with you. Since you keep it with you very close by anyways. And you're still standing. Now, Niru and Invis, you two are not so lucky. As the boat disembarks, you kind of lose your footing on the deck and fall backwards onto your backs.
I grab my ankle and start yelling out in pain.
Oh, dear. Are you all right?
Okay. Are you okay?
Oh, my ankle. I guess this when the ship took off, I rolled my ankle and... Oh, man. I was really hoping to help you guys out today.
Can I check his ankle to see if it's okay?
Yes, you absolutely can check his ankle.
Can I give him, I guess, what, medicine check?
Yup, give me a medicine check.
Oh, nat 1!
Oh.
Oh, my goodness. You poor soul. We're going to have to amputate that ankle. It looks so bad. Oh, my God. And he pulls his axe out, and he's about to amputate his ankle.
Oh, wait, no. Wait.
No. Hold on. And she yells down,
Banda!
Banda comes rushing up. Hey, Captain, what can I do you for? Check his ankle before Lizard Man goes crazy.
I will end your suffering.
Oh, yeah, no worry about that, Captain. Let me just take a look at... All right. What did you do?
When the ship took off, I rolled my ankle and I think I sprained it pretty bad.
It's so much worse.
He's not even paying Lizard Boy any attention.
Infection set in.
He grabs a hold of your shin and grabs a hold of your foot. And he looks over to you like, all right, now I'm just going to try something real fast. Now, if this goes wrong, it might go wrong. But if it doesn't go wrong, everything's going to be fine.
As soon as he's touching a foot, I'm yelling. I'm trying to sell this as best as possible.
So is he trying to deceive everybody so he can get out of work?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Give me a deception roll.
That's a 17, baby.
All right.
We're going to have to amputate. Who's got the peg legs?
So he looks at it, and he's just like, well, you see, yeah, I can tell that you rolled it, but if you just hold on one second, as he's holding it, like holding the bottom of your leg and the sole of your foot, his hands start to light up a little bit, and he casts Healing Word on your foot.
You just made this man waste a spell slot.
he looks at you like, I should make it all new now.
I've made a man waste a spell slot.
Are you sure? Infection has set in. We gotta cut the foot off.
And he looks over and he stands up quickly and he grabs a hold of Lizard Boy's shoulder and he's like, all right, boy, I need you to calm down. Now he is fine. Now look at my lips. He is fine. And he's mouthing it out as he's talking. Now, if you want to go and help yourself, just go right on down there. I want you to go to the other side of the ship. Now, I want you to go to the other side of the ship, and I want you to try to help him, but you're going to help the best way you can because you are an excellent person above this ship, and I just want you to go help somebody. Go on. Go.
I'm an excellent person, and I am valued. Thank you. My name is Invis, and I'm your new best friend.
I greatly appreciate that, but I just want you to go right on down there,
Ola, if you don't mind showing our little fella here what he needs to do, I'll teach him how to swab the decks.
And he licks his eyeball.
Just so you know, he says that to everybody. We were both his best friends first, so.
All right.
He just kind of shakes his head, and he doesn't even know what to say, and he's just like, well, I guess I'm going to go on right on back down the ship, but if you guys need anything, just come on and get me.
I feel so much better.
Great.
And I just stand up.
Wow. You look like you feel a lot better now.
Yeah, he did the magic thing, and
oh, great.
Fixed my foot.
Well, I think there's still plenty of time to help out these fine people on this ship.
What looks like the easiest job besides swabbing the deck?
You see Aiden standing at the ship's wheel.
Yeah, that's exactly where I'm going.
All right. At this point, Helmy, you're kind of close enough to Ada. He turns around and he's very sternly, "Hey, lass. That weapon. You look like you're quite agile with it. Am I wrong?"
"No, you would be correct. Good sir."
"All right. Let's put those hands to use. Come here, I'm going to teach you how to rig the ship's sails."
"Oh, with pleasure."
Neeru, as you are walking toward Aiden looks to you, be like, "I already know exactly what you're doing. Would you like to learn how to navigate the ship? Because you're trying to get out of work, aren't you?"
"I wouldn't say that. Navigating's work."
Yes, navigating is a lot of work. You have to... A sailor needs to know how to read the skies, the weather, the winds, the seas."
"Look at me, I'm a Triton. Of course I know how to read the seas."
Alright, so you guys have set sail. The winds and the sails, everything is going fine. The skies are crystal blue. You're watching the clouds go overhead. Invis, you're busy swabbing the decks and you're doing it without any issue. And you're even kind of got a sponge tied to the back of your tail. So you're just like, you're holding the mop with your two hands, swabbing it back and forth. And your tail is just doing its own little thing behind you.
"Yeah, I've done this before."
Helmy, you're very quick to pick up how to rig. You're very fast with your hands. Your training as a paladin, and especially with your glaive, have come in well. And Neru, you're just having a conversation with Aiden, and he's teaching you about the weather, the winds, and you're learning a lot of interesting things along the way. As you guys are getting, you know, accustomed to working on a ship, now you've only been at it for a few hours, but the ship starts to sail off. No issues, no troubles, and it seems to be everything is working out the way that it should. It's about midday. You guys have already been working towards the morning, so I'm going to ask everybody to give me another roll.
Do you like your rolls buttered?
Definitely.
Yes, absolutely.
Honey butter. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So, Helmy, you're working with Ade on the riggers. So, give me a acrobatics check.
Okay. Hopefully, it's as good as last time. Like to not fall off. Oh, whoops.
Okay. So, as the ship is kind of getting tumbled by waves a little bit, you lose your footing and knock off some of the ropes, and Ade quickly comes over and quickly tightens them back up so you don't lose the sails, and he just kind of gives you a look. Like, it happens to everybody. You'll be fine.
I'm so sorry.
No worry, lass. You'll pick it up. At this point, Invis just comes passing right by behind him, just swabbing the deck. Very enthusiastically, might I add. And like, you're doing it very well. You haven't slipped up. You haven't slipped at all, actually, even though you're mopping it back and forth. Olo's paying close attention to what you're doing. She's kind of nodding. Hey, you're doing a good job.
"Oh, well, thank you. I learned how to sweep and mop real well." And he tells Olo his whole life story.
Olo turns to you, and she actually praises you because you've been doing such a good job.
"Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate it."
Olo is the girl of the triplets, and then Matwa and Ade are the males.
"But does she have a beard?"
"On the side."
"Because if she's got a beard, he might mistake her as a man."
even dwarven women do have beards. She's got very long sideburns and a very kind of like handlebar sideburns that come down the side of her face, but she has no facial hair above her lip or on her chin. It's just all on the side of her face.
I would argue that as a lizard person, Invis doesn't recognize things such as facial hair as being sort of gender like denominated. I don't think he would recognize that only men have, or that men have facial hair and women don't have. I don't think he would register that. You know, to him, it's just like,
he's like, cat's got hair on the face.
yeah, exactly. I think he's looking for particular scale patterns and stuff.
Fair enough. All right. So John, Nero has been up there with Aiden for almost the entire morning so far, and now it's about midday. You look in the distance and you saw that storm that you thought you were heading into dissipated a little bit after a few hours of travel. Go ahead and give me another survival check.
5.
Oh no.
All right. So as you are helping Aiden out and trying to steer the ship and learn how to navigate, you end up taking the ship off course just a little bit. Aiden turns to you. You got to do better, my friend. Here, let me fix the rudder. And he gets us back on course. And no, everything's good. Captain Senza's standing back and she's just watching over everybody. You know, it's midday at this point. Nebby comes up from downstairs, and as she looks around, she sees that everybody's busy and everybody's just kind of fitting in well and having conversations. Casa is still at the front of the ship, just kind of minding her own business, tying ropes down, making sure everything's secured. She hasn't really said much to anybody, and you really get the feeling that she's kind of standoffish.
In the process of swabbing the deck, can Invis try and start up a conversation with the captain?
You're on the opposite side right now.
Okay.
Does she have Nookie with her?
Yes, Nookie is on her shoulder.
Then, I'm going to make my way to the, to her side, and swap the deck that way.
I want to do something. I want to use Awaken Mind to telepathically speak to the cat and let the cat know the lizard's going to eat it.
Lizard man's coming your way.
As long as it doesn't need to share a language with me, as long as it understands language.
Okay. I'll let that. Yeah. Yeah, cool. So Nero, you see the captain standing behind you, watching over the deck as you are learning to navigate with Aiden. And the process of this, you see from the other side, on the other side of the deck, Invis turns around and sees the captain. And he gets this very predatorial look in his face as he is dead set staring on that cat.
And it's his forked tongue is just kind of licking his cheeks, you know? He's just kind of doing that lizard thing of eating fava beans or whatever, you know? He wants to eat that cat.
Whoa.
This poor cat.
Howdy, Captain. Captain. How are you today?
I'm doing well, my green friend.
And he's just looking at the cat the whole time. He's trying to talk to the captain. Oh, thank you. Oh, that's good. But thank you for talking to me. Are you mad at me?
You're a peculiar one, are you not?
Well, that's what everyone says. That's what my teacher once said. Yeah, I suppose you could say that. The whole time he's talking to the captain, he's looking at the cat.
All right, so Nookie kind of looks over at Nero, and the cat turns his head again as he sees Invis start to come closer. And Nookie immediately jumps down and she starts going the opposite direction. She doesn't even kind of jump down. She just straight pounced from Captain Senza's shoulders to Aiden's shoulders and then onto the deck and just started walking to the other side of the deck.
Oh, here, kitty, 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 kitty. Here, kitty, 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 kitty. Invis leaves the captain and chases the cat.
Cat's paying absolutely no attention, just going to the other side of the deck. Helmy, what are you doing?
I feel like Helmy is still sort of trying to recover from her snafu at the rigging, but I am curious if this has caught her attention at all.
Give me a perception roll.
All right.
And at the same time, Envis, while you are chasing this cat, give me a constitution roll.
Oh, what? Like, just a regular constitution or a constitution save?
Constitution save throw.
That's a 17 perception for me.
Oh, that's a natural 16.
Oh, all right.
Plus two, that's a 20.
So, Envis, while you are chasing this cat, the ship hits a massive wave, and it kind of throws you off kilter a little bit, and you feel squeamish for a second, but you are able to calm yourself back down and go do it. Now, Helmy, you have seen every bit of this transpire. You have watched Envis go from one side of the ship all the way to the other side of the ship to now he is following this cat. And as you look down, Nookie is walking right past you. And here comes Envis.
I would like to try to scoop up the cat as it's walking past me.
I would like to try to beat her to scooping up the cat. I'm going to leap at the cat at this point.
As you leap and go sliding across the deck, Nookie just jumps right over you. I mean, like, she jumps 15 foot in the air above your head and immediately scurries back to Senza.
I'm gonna look at Envis and go, darling, we really cannot eat the cat. You really can't. It's not advisable.
After seeing it do that, I don't know if it would be healthy for me to eat a cat like that. It's clearly a monster cat. If it jumps that high, it might upset my tummy.
Regardless, it is someone's pet animal. It's not okay for you to just randomly eat other people's pets.
Pet?
Yeah, like a familiar of sorts. I don't think that the captain would be very happy with us if you were to eat a cat. We have a long journey left here.
Captain, are you mad at me?
Let's see. Captain's a good way away from you.
I'm going to run back to the captain and breathlessly, Captain, are you mad at me?
Captain just takes her fingers and just widens them right across her brow. Like she's rubbing her temples as she's doing it. And it's just like, you are a peculiar one.
Do you want me to leave? Do you want me to stay? I'll stay. I think she's mad at me. I'll stay.
Just continue working in the area that you need to work with. And try to leave my cat alone.
Yes, Captain.
I paid you to work. Well, I'll be paying you to work. I'm not paying you to eat my cat.
I paid you technically. I think that owes me a cat.
Yes. Yes, no, it does not. You get a stake in the share of the payment that we get. You can buy yourself a cat. Woman, get to Farzine.
How much longer till Farzine? Are we there yet?
We've got about 4 days. 5, maybe.
Ooh, it's going to be a long journey.
So, as you get that out, Helmy, Nebby sticks her head out. And she's just quickly just like, excuse me, everybody, excuse me. I just want to let you know that lunch will be served in approximately 15 minutes if y'all are at a stopping point, or if anybody can walk away for just a few minutes to come have some lunch. I don't want anybody getting hungry. You can't work on an empty stomach, so come on down and I will fill you full.
Envis immediately drops the mop. I'm like, okay, I'm on my way. And he takes the sponge off of his tail and is like down there. He's on his way.
I'm going to look to, what's his name? Ade? I say, Ade, are we at a place that we can take a moment to go get some food?
Oh, absolutely, my dear. Everything seems to be good and tightened down for the moment. Now the wind shifts, that can cause a stir, but... And he licks his finger and throws it up in the air. He's like, I think we might be good for about 5-10 minutes to go get a little bit of food in our stomachs at least.
All right. I mean, I would be happy to stand watch if you would like to go, and I could go when you return, if you'd like.
Before you even finish that sentence, he's already walking off.
Oh, okay. What?
And he just kind of throws up his hand and waves backwards. Thanks.
Great. I'll be here for a little longer then, I suppose.
All right. Niru, what are you doing?
Aiden, if you don't mind, I'm going to go get some food.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead. I got this. I do this on the regular. Go. Eat. You're new to all of this.
All right. I'm going to go eat.
Niru and Envis, as you get downstairs, you see that there is a small table, but there's enough to cram. It's probably big enough to cram about six people in front of, and then everybody's kind of sitting on barrels and stuff against the wall and everything behind you. Everybody's just kind of getting a plate, grabbing some food, a handful of apples, like she's made some stew. Not the best meal, I wouldn't say, but it's enough to keep you full, to keep you working. So you got you some breads, you got some fruits, and you got beef stew. Ade goes back for a couple bowls. He's just got this big look and a like, smile on his face, and he looks over at Helmy, but, all right, lass. Oh, I had my fill. Go get you something to eat.
Oh, gladly. Glad I could assist. I'll be back in a moment.
And he looks at the rigging. He's like, just to let you know, you got that rope tied wrong. It's supposed to be over there, and that rope's supposed to be there. So I'm glad we didn't get a strong wind in the sail. But I'll fix it. Go get you some food.
Great. When I return, perhaps you could teach me that to make sure I can do it properly next time.
All right. So all of you go downstairs and y'all enjoy, a nice little meal. Everybody's just kind of chit-chatting. Senza, she comes downstairs. And as soon as Nookie sees Mosetta, Nookie jumps down and goes the other way. Like, she wants nothing to do with Mosetta at all. Mosetta's just kind of off by his side, and he's just still kind of swabbing the deck downstairs. He doesn't really seem too interested in eating, but the others that are downstairs, they're all kind of chit-chatting and talkative. Banda looks over to Helma and be like, man, this ain't the best food in the world, but man, it sure does fill your stomach now, doesn't it? What'd you say your name was again? Was it Helmy?
Yes, that's correct. Helmy.
Oh, I got it right.
Yeah. And I agree. I think that this food is perfectly fine. Keeps us full and able to continue on. Are you going to play us some music while we eat?
Well, I would love to play you guys some music, but it'd be kind of hard for me to play some music and to eat as well. I don't want to get any kind of food into my instrument.
Of course, the priority should be that you eat. I don't wish you to skip a meal for music, but I would love to hear you play the instrument at some point.
He looks down and grabs a hold of his jiggly bell, and he just kind of shakes up and down. He's like, I don't want to miss a meal either.
Yes, certainly.
At this point, this is enough for you guys to have a short rest and not like anything you've really gone on that much, but it's long enough for you to have a short rest. At this point, Senza looks around, be like, all right, now if everybody's down here, there's nobody manning the decks. So if you're done eating, get back up there. If nobody's eating, get them down here and get back to work.
Fair enough. I'll return to my post.
I guess I'll go back upstairs.
I'm still eating. I don't know what you guys are doing.
Nebby walks over, be like, oh, I'm glad that you're enjoying my food, but we gotta have some for dinner too, so I'm just gonna just finish up what you're eating right now and just go right on upstairs, get back to work. That way we can keep the decks nice and clean and get everything going, okay?
Oh, you're very sweet. I appreciate that. Man, have you ever heard the phrase, smoke them if you got them?
Yeah, but what you don't understand, my friend, is that we have enough food for a couple days travel. If you eat us all out now, we won't have anything for the other days travel.
Okay, and this goes back to work.
Afternoon goes on. And everybody's up top working. They swapped out. Everybody's gotten their full. Everybody's back to work. Cassa's still up front, just kind of minding her own business. Aiden is continuously trying to teach Niru the ways of navigation. Envis, you're just kind of, continuously swapping the decks. Helmy, as you get back up there, Ade looks at you. And he starts he's taught you how to do the knots, but now he's teaching you where each rope actually goes to which sail. So you're bouncing back and forth to both sides of the ship because there's four different sections of roping that is holding the sails together. So he's trying to show you basically what you asked him to do earlier. And that's how the afternoon kind of goes on. And it, you know, it gets closer to evening. You know, about mid-afternoon. Invis, give me a constitution saving throw. Now go ahead and give me a athletics check.
That's 14.
Okay, so that is a 14 for both of them. Jeez, what's the odds of that happening again?
So as you go and as you're swabbing the decks, you're not really, you're kind of getting used to swaying back and forth and you're getting your sea legs. As you start to lose your grip from mopping because you hit a wet spot of where the waves have splashed up and landed on the deck, you quickly are able to balance back up and balance your tail. That way you don't fall over and you just keep on swabbing the decks. Olo looks back to you and she just smiles and she's like, "Oh, that was impressive, lad. You're doing great. Keep it up. At this point, you'll be one of the best deck swabbers around."
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that. That's very kind of you to say.
So, as time is continuously going, Niru, give me a survival check.
Ooh, fancy.
Oh, no!
Oh, no. That's one.
Oh, no.
All right.
Well,
oh, good.
We crashed into another ship.
Yeah, a ship that just magically appeared out of anywhere.
We are sinking.
Niru, as Aiden is explaining things to you and asking you questions and stuff like that, you're just daydreaming. You're not even paying attention to him. And it's just kind of going in one ear and out the other. And he's getting a little frustrated with you. But he's not visibly pissed off because he understands that it's a lot of information to take in. So he just kind of lets you do what you're doing. Helmy, go ahead and give me a acrobatics check for the rigging.
Okay.
All right. So you're getting the hang of it quite well. And Ada is actually impressed with how fast that you are picking it up. And he's not as stern with you right now. He's more, I guess, easiest way to, he's more friendly. He's more kind of welcoming to talking to you and getting to know you now that he's actually seeing the quality of work that you're putting out.
Nice.
All right. So time continuously goes on. Waves crash. The ship rocks back and forth. Water splashes up onto the deck. Everybody's just busy doing their job. You see the captain. She comes and goes. Nookie, she's walking around every so often. And eventually, Nebby peeks her head out again. All right, everybody. It is now dinner if you want to come downstairs. And then, and it's starting to get dark. So Senza, she walks around and she lights all the lanterns on deck with Nookie. That way everybody can see where they're going.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. I can see in the dark. But now I can really see Nookie the cat.
All right. And once again, Nookie sees Mosetta and just kind of goes about her way and goes into the captain's quarters and she kind of kicks the door and the door closes behind her.
Invis, kind of elbows Mosetta, hey, I understand that cat doesn't like me neither, but I really want some of that cat, don't you?
And Nebby, she's prepared the exact same thing again. So you got your bread, you got some rum, you've got some fruits, some reheated beef stew. And that's about it. I mean, as the night goes on, Ada looks to you, Helmy, and be like, it's getting late there, lass. If you want to sleep up here, you're more than welcome to sleep. And you sleep on the deck, admire the stars. Just go get your bedroll. Or if you want to sleep downstairs, that's fine too. You hear the same thing from Aiden and Olo telling Niru and Invis this as well. As the sun goes down, dust sets, stars start to come out in the sky. It's in the middle of nowhere, no lights around, just the soothing sound of the ocean. You're astounded by the beautiful sky. You've never, none of you have ever seen anything like it. But in the process of this, Invis, give me another constitution saving throw.
Okay. There it goes.
All right. You're still passing them.
Man.
Helmy, where are you going to sleep tonight? Are you going to sleep on deck or are you going below deck?
I am going to go below deck.
Okay. Neeru, what about you?
Below deck.
All right. Invis.
Invis is going to follow Neeru and Helmy because he wants to stick by the people that he claims are his, the people that are his new best friends. And he wants to get to know his new best friends.
Okay. There's nothing wrong with that. So each of you go below deck and you start getting ready to go to sleep. Everybody is just kind of chatting. The captain is tucked away in her quarters, Nebby. She's finally putting her feet up after a long day of preparing food for everybody. The triplets, they stay above. Kasa, she stays above as well. And then Aiden, naturally, he's kind of still navigating the ship, so he stays up a little bit longer as well. But as each of you gets used to the rocking of the boat, the sounds of the waves just kind of crashing on the sides of the ship, you hear the wood creaking back and forth, the sails pulling and pushing to each other, just getting used to the sounds of the boat. In the process of this, you just hear Banda. He starts to play a very melodic song on his pan flute to help everybody get to sleep.
Can I pull out my my drum? I have a drum and accompany Banda in his song.
Okay. Give me a performance check.
Okay. Let's see. So I have a negative in charisma, but I have a proficiency with the hand.
Basically,
drum.
It's going to be a plus one.
Okay. 14.
So as you're sitting there with Banda, you kind of smile at him and you pull out this kind of small rounded drum. And at first you start tapping to it. But as you get into the way that he's playing his flute, you're not that far off beat. So it doesn't sound terrible, but it could definitely use some work. And that's the end of your first day on the ship.
As each of you lay your heads down to rest after a long day aboard the Folly, you each begin to wonder what the next day may bring. From interacting with the crew to the adjusting of life at sea, none of you know what to expect on your new journey. Armed with full stomachs and Banda's melody, and paired with the swaying of your hammocks as the waves rock the ship, you enter into the realm of dreams. Little do you know what days ahead may bring. While asleep, though, Neeru, your patron, brings you ominous visions of what may come. The sky becoming pitch black, with bolts of green and yellow lightning lighting up the sky. Lightning striking the ship, waves crashing hard back and forth. Who knows what will happen? Sleep well, my travelers. As tomorrow, who knows what may be in store for you when we continue our story next time.
Well, the story is just picking up. A little slow to begin, I know, but stick around, grab another ale, and I promise you, next time, we'll tell you more of our tale, a tale of feats and fates.